Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
Well, now that's an interesting observation. Welcome, friends. Great to have you with us today. It's a Wednesday as we get into the furthering conversations in this hour over a cup of coffee about politics and how it impacts your life, including, of course, the lockdown that we're in and how we're dealing with it in many ways, including the governor's unconstitutional stay-at-home order. In fact, that was the preamble to my opening line here. It was an email I got from Rich. Here's what we're talking about today. We're going to have a worship service at the Capitol on May 17th, Sunday, 10 a.m. And we're doing that to show the governor that she ought to open up churches. I want to get into that a little bit today because I'm getting some criticism for it. Okay, so what? Another thing I wanted to share with you is there a risk in living? No, I'm quite serious. Is there risk in living, doing anything, getting up in the morning and sitting in front of your computer, getting up in the morning, getting dressed, getting your kids off to school, such as it is right now, which means in front of your computer? Is there risk you driving down the road? Is there risk in you walking down the street? Is there risk involved in breathing air? Is there risk involved in eating food? Is there risk involved in getting your hair cut or your nails done? If you do anything, like get your hair cut or your nails done, are you putting yourself at risk even after COVID-19 goes away? Do you accept that a certain amount of risk is okay? We're going to talk a little bit about that today. Also, did you know we're number one? We are number one in Oregon. I'm not kidding you. It is such a great honor to be number one in depression. Yeah, there's a story about that today. Oregon is number, we lead the nation with the highest rates of depression. And you're not going to believe the crazy conclusion they reach about why maybe that might be and what is causing it. And it relates to Obamacare, at least from my perspective, it does. But back to my opening comments about, well, now that's an interesting thing. Rich wrote me an email, says, you know, Jeff, unless I have read Article 10 of the Oregon Constitution wrong, isn't Brown, Lieutenant Governor Brown, because we all know that Ted Wheeler is the real governor of this state, isn't Lieutenant Governor Brown right on the edge of a violation of that article? It's about declaring an emergency, etc. So she can't use the virus as a reason for extending the emergency clause anymore. And needs to work with the legislature and have them vote on the emergency to extend the length of time, question mark. I think that's an accurate interpretation. And again, I think this is the basis by which anyone could be suing Kate Brown on this issue. The Oregon Constitution. Look, here's the thing, friends. If you go back to Professor Hinckley, go look at ProfessorHinckley.com, go scroll down till you get to the chart from the Oregon Health Authority. And it's about the COVID-like visits still make up a small portion. This is the headline of the chart. And it's a powerful graphic. Still make up a small portion of all reported ED visits, these emergency room visits. And total ED visits have decreased. If you look at this chart, folks, again, this is the point that Professor Hinckley's been making all along. Even before Kate Brown instituted the lockdown order, all of hospitalization rates and reported visits to the ER were beginning to decline. already. And in fact, it is so minuscule right now, you can't even see it. You can't even see it. Now, here's what happens. Miraculously, every time we see a national story or a story in Oregon about how, yeah, we don't have much in the way of cases, and, you know, five Oregon counties have no cases, another four Oregon counties have one case, another county has two. Every time we see those stories, guess what pops up? Some new frightening story, something to frighten you right back into submission, isn't it? Take, for instance, the story today. Well, some more people have died in Oregon. We're up to 113. And there's over 3,700 or so infected. Oh, no, the sky is falling. More models that show, oh, we're going to have a resurgence. Friends, the reason that we allowed ourselves to go into lockdown is the uncertainty of this thing, because all the so-called experts were telling us this thing is worse than anything else. And yes, it is worse than most of the things that have hit a particular population, and it isn't your children. Although, there's a story today, again, it's spreading more fear, that all of a sudden Oregon has seen a spike in child-related hospitalizations. They don't know what it is, but they're treating it successfully, but they don't know what it is. And of course, there's speculation that it's the virus. It's because of the virus. You see how this is playing out? Trump announces that we're going to reopen the country. Various states begin to do that. And guess what happens? Amazingly, just leaked somehow out of government is this unsubstantiated theory. Theory, folks. Of what? Well, we may have, 3,000 people a day. The death rate may double to 3,000 people a day from where we are today. It's a theory. It's a model. It wasn't even vetted. They just put it out there. Now, why would people do that? Who benefits politically from the nation remaining shut down? Who benefits in Oregon with the state remaining shut down in our economy through the month of June into the 1st of July? Who benefits from that? Ask yourself that question. Well, it's easier to blame somebody, isn't it? Now, what did I tell you yesterday? The thing that worries me the most is that Donald Trump is going to be blamed. And he is. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Is there a risk in living? By the way, kudos to any or all of you that are listening to my voice. I went down to Glamour Salon yesterday to support Lindsey Graham as she opened the salon. We need to continue to do it. So if we have the worship service at the state capitol, and we are on May 17th, 10 a.m., should we wear masks? Should we wear, should we socially distance? Should we? So that we can show Governor Brown she needs to reopen churches. And that we can be just as responsible out in front of the steps of the Capitol or in a church building as we are going to a grocery store or Lowe's. What do you think? 503-589-1220, 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. We'll start with our first call. We'll start with Ron. Ron, good morning, brother.
How you doing? I'm just saying this, guys. I was at the rally Saturday, me and my bullhorn, and got the crowd started, the younger crowd. A lot of young folks were there, and they're starting to wake up, so be a good cheer, and thank God for that. Jake Brown is using fear. We already had almost 70,000 Oregonians tested. But if you take the number that was tested at 63,000, plus you figure the ones that affected, and you take the number died divided by those numbers combined, we're less than 15 millionth of a percent death rate. But yet, they want you to use fear. They want you to yield. They want you to, they want to destroy businesses. As I'm driving over to the coast right now, there's 8 more businesses that will not open up. You've got hotels that's trying to survive. But the governor don't care, because if you're out away from her land of patrons, Portland and Eugene, you don't matter to her. You need to also call your representatives, your senators. And you know, Mr. Mark Hatch is running for it. Keep this in mind, voters. If you want a Mark Hatch for your Secretary of State, he's the one that wanted cap and trade. He's the one that put SB 941, SB 718. He's the one that wants to and give take away foreign assassinations. He sponsored all those bills. So pay attention this year, especially at the primaries. Do not vote for people like that. Fagan and Williamson, same way, and whoever else run on the Secretary of State. But I am supporting Angela Romanek for the 5th Congressional District. I like also Amy Coarser. But the thing is this, people, you have to participate. Vote. Don't get mad. And if you do sign up that rally on the 17th, what you going to be scared of? Let's get some Wuhan. Let's get with the Lord and trust the Lord and not trust fear. It's fear is tools of the devil. And don't be scared of them. Make sure that you pay attention. Demand. Call. Email. Text. Write. Your representatives and senators says it's time to open up. Or if you
It is. It is ahead, time to open up. Ron, thanks for your call, brother. Be safe out there today. It is time to open up. We have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. That's what the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, his protege. How true. We're not going to be fearful. Now, when we come back from the break, I'll share with you some of the criticism that I'm getting about the Sunday church service. We'll talk with Rebecca. I want to remind you, if you're home and you are doing projects around the house and you need to get rid of the debris, like maybe you're getting rid of that old sidewalk and you beat the thing up, you got to get rid of that concrete, yard debris, dirt, gravel, take it to Clayton Ward Recycling right here in Salem. Salem Parkway, Mainline Drive. They're open 7 or 6 days a week. They're closed Sundays. Monday through Friday, 7 to 5. Saturdays, 7 to 3. Clayton Ward Recycling. They can take it all, and it's easy unloading. There's no waiting. These folks have been around 50 years. They're here to help. Some things they have to charge for. Other things are free. Give them a call, 503-393-8700, 393-8700, Clayton Ward Recycling. Friends, support our small businesses that support this radio station. Make your life better by providing services for you. Did you go down to the protest yesterday, by the way, at Glamour Salon? Would love to hear from you if you did. What should we do at the church service on Sunday, May 17th in the state capitol, 10 a.m. Should we wear masks, socially distance? What's your thought? Back in a moment, 6:20.
No, that's not poverty. Haiti believers have light on their faces as they march through town to the riverside. They baptize believers in this celebration.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Corby sent me an email, and he thinks that Kate Brown is just getting her revenge. Says another thing about Kate Brown wrongfully shutting down Oregon is, remember when we tried to recall her? I think the demon is seeking revenge. I would bet this could be a driving factor, since she is obviously helping her supporters and not Oregonians. Revenge is a dish best served cold and slowly, as she told to a political reporter. How convenient is it that she made her state of emergency last until July 6th so she could try to ruin our Independence Day? Every Oregon citizen should be aware of the vindictiveness of this woman. Is there any way we can raise funds and put a picture of her saying that on a few billboards? Let's call her out. You know, that's a great idea. Somebody ought to put up a GoFundMe page to fund billboards and advertising about Kate Brown's revenge hurts you. No jobs. You know, by the way, and I'm going to get to Rebecca and Glenn in just a moment here, but look, 336 so far, 1,000 Oregonians have filed for unemployment. Do you know that's twice the number after the 2008 Great Recession? Twice the number. The hole in the state budget is going to be so big, Kate Brown is not going to be able to find money to fill it anywhere. She's not going to be able to raise taxes. She will continue to hold the rural counties hostage, like we talked about yesterday. She's got $1 billion sitting there for them. She ain't distributing it. Why? Because she wants it for the state. Why? Because that keeps Democrat union workers working. Keep them union workers giving their union dues to the unions, which the unions turn around and fund Shamia Fagan. There's a story about that today. Shamia Fagan is the radical communist. She is worse than even Kate Brown. If you can believe that, it's true. She's a state senator. The unions have given her more than Mark Hass and Jamie McLeod Skinner have raised combined. The unions have. Why? Because Hass voted against any little tiny nibble around the edges of PERS. By the way, I think it's going to be easier for Kim Thatcher to beat Shamia Fagan because Shamia Fagan is such a radical. It's dangerous. Mark Hass would be harder to beat because he's much more moderate. And he's getting money from Republican business people. Shamia Fagan will be easier to beat. Anyway, I want to remind you also, friends, Eric Azer can help you fix what's wrong with your house, your wonderful space. That's what he does at Righteous Renovations. He's a guy you can trust to come to your home and do a good job. Why don't you check it out? Check out his satisfied customers at RighteousRenovations.com. That's RighteousRenovations.com. As promised, to the phones, we'll go to Rebecca first. Rebecca, good morning.
Good morning. The thing that's happening at the Capitol in Washington, D.C., was being discussed by Mark Levin yesterday. And he was bringing out that now that Nancy Pelosi has sent home all the representatives, she alone gets to create legislation. There's no voices except hers, and she gets to have as many concessions as she wants from President Trump. And then when it's all put together, then she just calls for a vote, and there's been no committees happening, no discussion on the floor, and the representatives are being treated like they're contagious, and all she wants is their up or down vote, and we need to be aware that could happen here in Oregon too, as they use this to say, oh, we need to have voting happen from far locations, we can't gather together. So, like, what she wanted was to have them all vote from where they were in whatever state they were in.
The difference is, Rebecca, that Republicans in Oregon are not going to do that. They're not going to allow that to happen. They would file a lawsuit immediately to the Oregon Supreme Court because that is unconstitutional. You have to show up in the building. She can't do that.
Yes, the Republicans are the ones that raised the stink in Washington, D.C., too. But she still is using it in whatever way she can to put legislation through without any voices or committees or anything. So you're right. But I'm just saying that this may be coming here in Oregon because this whole thing is not being driven scientifically. It's being driven by those who have money and are putting out the message.
Absolutely. It's all driven by the unions and the regressive totalitarian Marxist. Absolutely. Rebecca, thanks. Got to let you go because I got to move on to Glenn. Glenn, good morning. Welcome. And what do you think today on today's topics?
Yeah, Jeff, I've talked to other pastors and people, and they wanted to know, were you going to be posting information for people in other counties and so on? The information.
Yeah, it's going statewide. We want people to come from all over Oregon. We want churches, pastors to come and pray individually, priests to come and pray, any group of believers that believes that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, died for our sins, was raised miraculously by God, and lives again. We want them to be there, no matter where they are from, and frankly, no matter what the faith is.
Will the contact information just be a mouth-to-mouth thing, or is there going to be a site where they can look and see?
Well, it's being circulated on Facebook. There is a particular pastor in Salem that's kind of taking the lead on this, and I think that we're going to have a Facebook page up that will specifically address that issue. But it's being circulated on Facebook, and it will continue to be.
Okay, and about the children, I agree with you. The lockdown is it's a new plague against the children. There is called the lockdown at home plague. Kids shouldn't be locked down at home like this. They need to be on their trikes, in the sandbox, in the mud. They need to be out playing in the sun of righteousness with the healing in his wings. The ultraviolet rays do kill this virus. You don't need the mask outside when the sun is shining.
Absolutely right, Glenn. You are so correct. And that helps solve the other story we're talking about. Oregon's number one in depression. Sunlight helps with that, too. 6:30 back in a moment. Don't go away. Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
24 minutes till the top of the hour. In a moment, we're going to go back to the phones. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Leave it to Rich to write me an email with not only prescient thoughts, but also a little humor. He sent me this graphic of a new graph suggests that the number of graphs may have peaked. Oh, my goodness. Here, if you're just joining us, here's what we're talking about. Should we wear masks and social distance at the Capitol worship service on May 17th, the state capitol, to show the governor that she should treat churches the same as Lowe's or Safeway? Why? Because we can take the same precautions. You think we should do that? You think we should lead by example? No, look, we're going to get criticized anyway, and I will share with you after I talk to our next caller the criticism that I'm getting directed at me, which I think is, well, it's irrational. But is there risk in living? You know, by showing up to the Capitol service, you're going to risk yourself, aren't you? But aren't you going to risk living? I mean, isn't there risk in driving or walking to the Capitol church service? Hmm? Kudos to those of you, by the way, that showed up at the protested in favor of Lindsey Graham opening her glamour salon in Salem yesterday. Good for you. Need to keep it up. Oregon's number one in depression. Why? I thought Obamacare gave access to everybody getting insurance, right? Unbelievably, the story today in the Portland Tribune, that Oregon's number one in depression. They try to make the case that it's because people don't have access to health care. What a lie.
You can go to any emergency room. You can go just about anywhere. There's suicide hotlines. I mean, everybody's got an Obama phone, right? Not everybody, but the poor people do, right? If you're depressed because, you know, Kate Brown has locked you down, maybe it's something deeper than just these silly things. But saying you don't have access to health care is ludicrous. You can get all the health insurance you want free. The unions are punishing another Democrat, by the way, for daring to nibble on any PERS reform. That is the story today about Shamia Fagan, the far lefty, raising twice as much as her two opponents in the Democrat primary for Secretary of State. Mark Hass, having voted for PERS reform, the unions punish anybody who even gets close to it. And by the way, I got a great email here from Lee. Let me do that before I go to the phones. Risk in living, Lee writes. Yeah, there's risk in everything you do. One should be aware of the risk involved with a decision and activity and then proceed as they see fit. Yes, in some cases, this is ignorant. Jumping off a bridge is either summer fun or end of life. You overcome ignorance with assessment, action, application, and learning. I choose to live in faith. We come into contact with many viruses and bugs daily that have been there and will be there that our immune system can learn to fight off. For those who live in fear should be turning to the elite fashion designers to make fashionable hazmat suits or at least wearing gloves and face masks. Soon, those that live in fear could suit up in their stormtrooper suit for their adventures. Really well said. Well said. Let's go to the phones. We'll go to Art. Art, good morning, brother. So if we show, are you going to show up at the Capitol Worship Service on the 17th wearing a mask and socially distancing?
Well, obviously, Jeff, you know, everybody should let their conscience be their guide. And as you said, no matter what the church is doing, they're going to be condemned about it. And so, you know, I think proving that we can open churches responsibly and be at this event responsibly does send a message, the most positive message that we can send at this time. One thing that I would like to see, Jeff, is I would like to see all the churches put together their reopening plan, post it on their website, send it to the governor, and say, this is how we plan to reopen.
That's a great idea. Art, can you speak closer to your phone? Because you're hard to hear.
Yeah. Is that better, Jeff?
Yeah, that's much better. I think that's a great idea. I truly do. I think every church that wants to reopen should have a plan and should submit it to the governor. That's a great. I mean, the counties have been doing it. Why shouldn't churches?
Well, heck yes. And you know, the stores, they're open. They have certain protocol. And we should prove to the governor that we're good citizens and we want to protect the people that come to our church, and therefore this is what we're going to do. Is there any other recommendations that you suggest? Because I listened to Vice President Pence today on another show, and he said the churches should reopen. It's our constitutional right. They just need to adjust the number of people that are in the building and practice appropriate protocol, period.
Yep. Art, you're right on the money. Thank you, Art. I appreciate it. I'm going to let you go because I want to move. Thank you, brother, and I appreciate it. I want to move to this. Rich wrote me an email saying, my wife says people are so afraid of dying, they are afraid to live. There's risk in everything. He writes further, risks of life. Remember, the CDC states that 7,452 people die every day in the United States of America, including 450 that die falling out of bed. So let's live a little, he says. Are you willing to come to the Capitol Church Service and worship God, as is your right to peaceably assemble under the Oregon and U.S. Constitution on May 17th, 10 a.m.? Well, it's starting to get out on Facebook, and I'm getting criticized because of doing this. So let me share with you, not so much the criticism, but if you are going to come to the service and you let it be known, you share it with people in your world, your social media, and I hope you do, you may get similar pushback. So this might give you some thoughts in how to respond if someone does give you pushback. So this person criticized me on a Facebook page from someone who was advocating for coming to the service. And here's what this person said. Endangering your neighbors for personal gain is not the action of Christ followers. Let's stop there for a moment. Advocating for coming to the church service, having a church service, is nothing to do with personal gain for me, or frankly for anybody else. Nobody's making any money on it. We're not going to sell any advertising. We're not going to be broadcasting live from the church service, at least not for money. You know, maybe we would just for the sake of doing it and putting it out there on the air. But I don't have any plans of that at this point. I'm not against it, but nobody would be selling any advertising. This person continued. Rep Krupp needs to either turn to Jesus and apologize for advocating that people put their neighbors at risk, or quit referring to himself as a Christian. In a time when some are selfishly advocating to be free from shelter-in-place restrictions that keep others from suffering permanent disability and death, and some are even trying to claim that they are doing so as Christians, it's important to remember St. Paul's words about our freedoms. Quote, take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to them that are weak. 1 Corinthians 10:29. So, you know, I thought about this, and I thought, okay. You know, I bet that there were plenty of Christians who disapproved of Christians, like the story I told you about yesterday, Anglican pastor Peter Muhlenberg, who gave that sermon to his on Ecclesiastes 3, and took off his robe, showing his military uniform, his sword and his pistols, marched to the back of the church and said, who's with me? And 300 men stood up. By the way, thanks to Pastor Jim Moore for sending me the great similar little video clip from the movie The Patriot with Mel Gibson. Very similar thing happened. This person probably would have criticized that. In fact, remember, only about 20% of the American populace supported the idea of revolting against the crown. I also think that, and this is what you can say in response to someone who might criticize you for thinking about doing this. Are you afraid to go to a grocery store? Are you afraid to go to Lowe's? You know, we're going to be advocating for an even safer experience. Why? Because it's outdoors. And there is zero data. Zero. That shows that you can communicate this thing by being outdoors. We're going to be social distancing and wearing masks. Also, have you seen the actual data that says you are far, far more likely to get this disease if you are hunkered down at home with your family? Living in fear. Well, there's more, and we'll get to it on the other side. We'll talk to Dwight back in a moment at 6:48. Don't wait.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
10 minutes till the top of the hour. Just got an email from our liberal listener, Wilbur, who said, you know, I've always had trouble with what conservatives preach on Sunday and then how they ridicule and condemn others the rest of the week. Yeah, you know, I've had trouble with that, too. Except it's not always conservatives that do it either. You got to live your faith. That's why, even though I call out people for who I think they are, like Kate Brown being a regressive totalitarian Marxist, it's who she is, it's what she believes, it's her ideology. I'm not condemning her. In fact, quite the opposite. I urge people to pray for her. Before I go to Dwight, look, you know, I just said that one of the ways you can, well, offer to people who might disagree with you promoting the idea of joining us on May 17th at the steps of the state capitol Sunday for a worship service, one of the ways you might push back is to say, you know what, we're going to be doing something that's safer than going to Safeway or Lowe's. Just throwing those names out there. Well, you know, because the data shows, and go back to Professor Hinckley, read the article, professorhinckley.com. The data shows most of the infections are occurring in very closed spaces where people are in tight quarters, like families at home. So you know what? You want to make your home safe so you don't get the virus? You want to make your home, well, pollen-free, because pollen is about to hit us hard, folks. You better talk to the folks at Freedom Heating and Air, another great local business in Salem, been in business 50 years. They can help make your home a lot cleaner from pollen and certainly safer from the virus. FreedomHeatingAndAir.net. Check it out, FreedomHeatingAndAir.net. Let's go to Dwight. Dwight, good morning. Your thoughts. Welcome.
I just want to make a comment relative to what you had to say about risk. And it's been said that if we want to reduce risk, if we reduce the speed limit to 5 miles an hour, we could save another 40,000 lives a year.
Excellent point. Yeah, I hadn't even thought of that, but that's, yeah. But we don't, do we? Why is that?
No, we don't. Anyway, have a great day and great rest of the week.
You too, Dwight. That's a great point. You know, the reason we don't do that is because it doesn't make things work. You see, in everything, there is a trade-off. That's why I started the show with the asking the question, is there risk in just living? Well, of course there is. You know, you don't know if getting in your car and driving to work today is your last day on this earth. Last night, looking at Facebook, I saw, and I just thought of this, a friend of ours from my earliest days in campaigning, just lost her adopted grandson. He was 20 years old, was just killed in a car crash. And it's tragic. It's awful. There's risk. There's risk in doing anything. So does that mean we're going to live our lives in fear? Now, another observation, if someone says you're going to offend me, like this person who criticized me on Facebook as a Christian, for claiming to be a Christian because of what the Apostle Paul wrote about not offending people. Well, I would remind that person that Christ offended a great many people. The Jewish leaders of the day who crucified him, because he offended them. They were offended with his very presence, claiming to be the Messiah, claiming to be God. No, it isn't our purpose to offend. We're going to be criticized anyway. So what? Peter Muhlenberg was criticized by his own brother, who was also a reverend, for choosing to preach literal going to war from the pulpit and then doing it. He offended his own brother, who later changed his mind, by the way, and served in the war also. We're not going to live in fear, folks. If, again, it's common sense, if you're promoting in your circle of influence coming to this event, use these things as reasons why. Dwight just said a great thing. Life has risk. Worshiping in the open air is not a risk, and it doesn't put anybody in danger. Let's go to Rich, who's on the line. Rich, good morning. What do you have to say, friend?
Morning. I think a lot of these employees are getting intimidated, and with fear of losing their jobs, they don't toe the line with these new so-called six-foot this and all the shields. And we have information that that's happening at some of these stores. And I figure from what I'm hearing on the overheads at Walmart, they're towing the Chinese line thanks to Bloomberg owning as much of Walmart as he does.
So you think Bloomberg's really influencing the way Walmart is approaching this with their own employees?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's because they pulled all their ammunition out once he got the lion's share of stock. That's why they did that. So he's influencing it a lot, or I should say his Chinese handlers are. Just listen to, next time you're there, listen to the overhead and see how good a propaganda and mindset they're trying to program people to.
I'll have to do that. I will. I was unaware of that. I appreciate you sharing it with us, Rich. It's an interesting theory. Are you going to join us, by the way, on the 17th?
Yeah.
Awesome. That'd be great. I think I'm going to talk to my state police friend and let him know we're doing this because I don't think they know yet. But, I'd love to have some more plain clothes OSP folks standing in the audience, just in case those Antifa folks show up again.
Oh, you mean the enforcement arm of the Democrat Party?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It used to the be brown the KKK, shirts. But now it's the Antifa.
Yeah. It's Kate Brown's shirts. Thanks, Rich. Appreciate it. It's 6:58 in the morning. All right, as we close out the show today, seriously, friends, I hope that you find value in the conversations that we have. This is a one-hour show, and I hope that I provide some of that to you. I also want you to please remember to support our local advertisers, like ProBioscience. They produce CBD products that can really benefit your life. I mean, I use their stuff. Go to their website, pro-bioscience.com. pro-bioscience.com. Put in the discount code MOM, M-O-N. Get a 15% discount. Stacey Ann's up next. Good morning, Salem. See you tomorrow, friends.